Everyone has a story to tell. What's yours? You're listening to Around the World with Dan Perry. Do you enjoy hearing tales of world adventure? Would you like travel advice from those who know the road well? Maybe you want to embark on a journey of your own, and you just need a bit of motivation to get started. You'll find all of that and more on Around the World with Dan Perry.
Wow, what a trip. What a trip we've been having. Katie and I have been traveling for about 2 months straight now, and it seems like every single week is a new adventure. We take off, we go somewhere, we camp, we get out in the wilderness, do some sort of adventure, then come back into a city and just regroup for a day or two before heading out once again. It's just been going on and on and on. It's been a little bit tiring, but really awesome overall. If you're at home, man, I wish you could travel. I wish you could travel long term. I really hope you can make it happen because it's great fun. And this last week has been no exception. We're still in Mongolia in Ulaanbaatar, in the capital. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the last week. But the really great thing that's coming up is China. And for those of you who have been following me for a while, you know that Katie and I have been living in China. Well, just until recently, we were in Beijing for the last 3 years. And now we're doing a homecoming of sorts tomorrow. Tomorrow's we're going to leave Mongolia and travel to China by train. And for the next couple weeks, we're just going to be chilling out. We're going to hang out. We're going to regroup. We're going to meet with some friends. And there's one more big project that I'm going to finish, and that is 1,000 Days Between Part 2. I definitely need to get this done before we leave Beijing. So I have a definite deadline right now. I've been working on this book for like 8 years now, and it's finally almost over. I'm super happy with how it looks. I'm just putting those final few touches on it. I just need a few days locked in a room by myself with no interruptions. And then I can hammer out the last couple details that I want to get done. And I'll keep you guys up to date on that. Thank you so much for all of your support on that project, by the way. It's been overwhelmingly positive for me. And the finish line is just ahead. What else is going on? After a couple weeks in Beijing, we're going to head down to Shanghai. And we just booked our tickets to Japan. We're going to take a ferry to Japan. It takes like, I think like 36 hours to get there by boat. That should be a lot of fun. I did that going to Korea and really enjoyed it. I'm liking traveling over land or over water so much more than flying. Flying, you just miss everything. And having that time on the boat will give us a lot of time to reflect on our journey. Once we get to Japan, we're going to spend about a month riding our bicycles around, well, part of the country, not the whole country. It's far too big for that. But we'll be in Japan for basically all of November. So we're starting to get the next segment of our trip planned out. We'll get some more details hammered out in the coming weeks. And as far as the last week in Mongolia, we went to the Gobi Desert. I'd love to sit here and talk for an hour about all the little things we did. There's so much to talk about. So much happened. It's like travel can do this to you in general, long-term travel. Every single week is like being on vacation for a week. And think of all the fun stuff you do when you're on vacation. That's just our lives now. So we're really actually looking forward to having some time to decompress a little bit, to reflect in China and then on that ferry to Japan. But as far as the last week, I'm just going to give you a recap. All right, the Gobi Desert is this, well, it's a giant desert in southern Mongolia. And it's one of the highlights of the country. If you come to Mongolia, you really got to go to the Gobi Desert. The main way people go to the Gobi, of course, is by a tour. Now, you really can't do this on your own. Katie and I do most stuff on our own without a guide or anything. But the Gobi being a desert, there's not really any roads, or there are, but they're just makeshift. It's incredible. There's these giant wide open landscapes, and people just drive over the land. And once the ground gets rutted out too much and corrugated, then they'll just create a new track next to the original tracks. Very few paved roads. There's a couple of little cities, but it's hard to even call them cities. They're more like remote outposts, the kind of thing you'd see in a Mad Max movie. I mean, desert everywhere. And some little shops with like barren shelves full of junk food, nothing really perishable. It's a harsh, harsh landscape, but it's amazing. So there are a couple of public buses that go to these little towns, but they don't go to the far out landscapes. So the main way people do it is by tour. Now, Katie and I have been, like I said, going pretty much nonstop. We were okay with doing a tour. You have a set itinerary. You don't have much say in what you're going to do, but you can just sit back and enjoy the ride. You don't have to do a lot of work when you're on a tour. So we were okay with that, but it turns out there's another option. Katie found a Facebook group where she could hook up with other travelers and put together a little group of ours. So we found three other people, so five of us total, and instead of going on a tour, we just rented a van. And the cool thing is, the van came with its own driver. The driver was this guy named Balge. He's a quiet, humble guy, but really chill, laid back, nice guy. And he just drove us around. We told him like the main points that we wanted to hit in our 7-day trip, and he took us everywhere. The main advantage of this, of course, is money. It's like half the price of a tour. And I don't know if I want to talk about money on this trip too much, but whatever, here we go. For the 7 days, Katie and I did our expenses, figured out how much we spent, $22 a day. And that's for, well, we were camping almost every single night. We had 6 nights. 5 of those nights we camped. One night we stayed in a ger, which is a Mongolian yurt, or you're not supposed to call them yurts here, I guess, because that's a Russian word, and they prefer to call it a ger. Every other night we camped. We had to cook all of our own food. That's another disadvantage, I guess you could say, of going on versus going on a tour where you're going to have someone cooking for you. But when you count all of the gas money that we spent, because we had to pay our own gas money, the driver, the car, the food, park entrance tickets, there were some tolls. Oh, we rode camels. Yeah, we rode these Bactrian camels, these two-humped camels, and that was really fun. And we did a couple other little things here and there that cost some money. I mean, we had some beers every night, and we had a couple snacks that we bought along the way. We had to buy a lot of water because it's the desert and there's not really any drinking water. After you add up all those expenses, $22 a day. And that's, when you think about it, that's all I spent that for that week. I mean, I don't have a car, so no car payment. I don't have an apartment or a house, so no mortgage, no rent. I don't have a cell phone bill. I don't have an electric bill. None of that stuff. That's what's really cool about travel. So, like, just as a little side tangent here, all the time people assume that because I'm able to travel for a long time, that I must be filthy, stinking rich. That couldn't be further from the truth. The thing is, though, while you're on vacation, normally, if you go on like a 1-week trip, all those meters are still going while you're gone. Your rent is still due. Your car payment is still due. You're still racking up an electric bill, a phone bill, all that stuff. And if you just get rid of all those expenses, then whatever you spend on your trip is actually what you spend. And that's really all it costs. I mean, even if you do a tour, it's only like $45 a day with everything included, basically. I mean, every meal included, every night included. Camping was a bit rough in it. There's a couple things with this Gobi Desert, with Mongolia, that's definitely not for everybody. I mean, the capital's pretty modern. But as soon as you get outside the capital, like literally just in the suburbs, when we stop for fuel, there's no more flush toilets. So we were using a pit toilet right away. No running water pretty much anywhere we went. So we went for a week without showering, a week without using a real toilet, a week without running water. I mean, definitely, obviously not for everybody. And then sleeping in tents, and it's getting a little bit cold too. One of those nights was below freezing, probably about -5, I'd guess, Celsius, which is like low 20s in Fahrenheit. So cold, and you're always outside. You're always out in the elements. But I guess for Katie and me, though, that's just how we've been living anyway. We've been camping probably about half of the nights that we've been traveling. We've slept in our tent. So it's not all that different from our normal lifestyle. Anyway, this trip was awesome. The other people we were with were a lot of fun. And every day we stopped at these amazing landscapes. I mean, like I said before, we got to ride camels one day. We hiked to the top of a 300-meter sand dune. That was, well, it was really difficult to get up to the top because you slide down so much in the sand. But the view makes it all worthwhile. And we just had a lot of other great views. And I've spent the last 2 days going through my photos. I think I took like, 700 photos or something. And I maybe saved about 200 of them. I hope you'll take a look. They're on my website, 1000daysbetween.com. And I'll put up a whole bunch of them in the show notes and then a link to even more. I think rather than just talking about all the things that I did, the photos really speak for themselves. And hopefully they'll inspire you to come to Mongolia. This is such a cool country. I mean, it's wild, it's rugged, it's out there. There's almost no people here. It's about 1/6 the size of the United States with 1/100th the population. And half the population here lives in the capital. So once you leave the capital, there's just a couple small cities, and then it's just countryside. And it's out there. So if that's your kind of thing, Mongolia is great. If you're American, another cool thing is no visa. You just show up. They give you a month for free. No problem. All right, well, let's move on to my guest for today. Her name is Ruby Tsai, and she was on my trip. So I got to do a podcast. I think we recorded this on day 3 out of 7, so about a week ago now. We were sitting on top of a sand dune, looking out over the land while we recorded it. Ruby is from Taiwan, and she's basically doing the opposite of the trip that Katie and I are doing, the opposite direction. Yesterday, she took the bus into Russia. She's going to take the Trans-Siberian Railway across the country, and then eventually she's going to end up in London and stay there for a couple of years, which she talks about during the podcast. And she gave me some great advice on Burma, which Katie and I hope to get to later on in this trip, and then also her native land of Taiwan, which we'll get to sooner. Hopefully in early December, we'll figure out a way to bike around that island. So yet another thing to look forward to. All right, I think that's enough rambling for me. Once again, look for the final few updates on my new book coming out in the next couple of weeks. I'll give you more details on where you can pick it up. Thank you so much for all of your support. Once again, thank you for listening. And let's get into my talk right now with Ruby Tsai. What are we looking at right now?
I think we are in Gobi Desert.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, woohoo!
We made it.
Yeah, we made it finally.
And it's a desert, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But where are we right now? I mean, we're in the Gobi, but yeah, we're on top of something.
Some dune, right?
Right. Sand dune. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I guess I put you on the spot. Maybe that's not a normal English word to know. Sand dunes.
Sand dune.
How do you say in Chinese?
We would just say desert in Chinese, sa mo.
Sa mo.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But yeah, sand is sha.
Sa, yeah.
Ah, okay. Anyway, we're in the Gobi Desert on top of a sand dune.
Yeah.
Enjoying this awesome afternoon.
Yeah.
How's the trip going so far?
It was wonderful. Like, at first I was planning to just stay in Mongolia for 3 days. And I check it and research a little bit. And I'm like, only 3 days kind of waste.
Sure, it's a huge country.
Yeah, and so many beautiful nature stuff and can go to see. Why I have to spend only 3 days? So I just get a visa for 10 days.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You'll stay here the whole time then, 10 days?
Yeah.
And so is this part of a bigger trip then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like where did you start out and where are you going?
My original plan is say overland from Taiwan to Europe, we are fine. But my time is just kind of tight. So I have to give up my original plan. So my first stop is start from Shanghai.
Did you fly there?
Yeah, I fly there. Okay. Yeah. And then take a night tram to Beijing and take a bus to Alien, the border of China and Mongolia, and cross the border to, how to call that place? Zamenhof.
Oh, I don't know the name.
Yeah, I guess probably Zamenhof. Mm. And then tell the local train to here, UB,
Ulaanbaatar.
Yeah, Ulaanbaatar, yeah. Uh-huh. It's hard for me to pronounce, yeah, Ulaanbaatar. And then find a bunch of good friends to have like road trip to go be here.
Right?
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, and I guess I didn't realize this until a week ago or so, that you can do a tour to the Gobi, and I thought that was more or less your only choice if you don't have a vehicle.
Uh-huh.
But we realized we can just hire just a guy to drive us, and it's not really a tour.
Yeah.
But we're seeing all the same stuff.
Yeah.
The downside, I guess, is we have to cook for ourselves, and we have to camp, but that's fun too.
Yeah, that's so true.
It's like half as much money then.
Yeah.
How are you liking the camping?
For myself, I always like outdoor activities and touch nature. So camping is one thing I really like it and really enjoy.
Oh, yeah?
But now the first day we camp is in the cold wind, low temperature.
It was too cold for you?
Yeah. I am come from Taiwan, like four season, like spring, like very warm.
Uh-huh.
So the first day is kind of like too cold for me.
Yeah, yeah, that's funny.
Because
before we met you guys, Katie and I were camping in much colder weather.
Yeah, I heard Katie tell me that like minus 10 degree.
Yeah, minus 10 Celsius, like 16 Fahrenheit.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
I know it was, but we had extra gear though. We had extra sleeping bags that we borrowed, and so it wasn't too bad.
Uh-huh.
It's just the only bad part was after it got dark.
Yeah.
That the days only last like 12 hours now this time of year.
Yeah.
And we're not going to sleep for 12 hours at night.
Yeah, that's so true.
You've got a few hours of, well, it's really cold and dark and can't do much.
Uh-huh.
But that was the only downside. During the day it was mostly above zero.
Yeah.
Well, one day it stayed below zero all day though.
Yeah. And I think the good thing is like travel in this season, less tourists. So you can see more and then have your own space, I guess.
Right. Yeah. I'm really enjoying this time of year in Mongolia actually.
Yeah.
At first I thought, ooh, we're here a little late.
But
now I think it's good. This part of the country is actually pretty warm.
Yeah. Like in the daytime quite warm.
Right, we're one other person in our group is walking around in shorts, no problem.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I could have done that, but I'm a little lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too bad. And the lack of tourists is good.
Yeah.
Although we're seeing a lot of Korean tourists.
Yeah, I think Mongolian also like very respect to Koreans.
Koreans really respect Mongolians, you mean? Or you mean
Mongolians.
Mongolians respect Koreans.
Yeah, like Korean is so popular here. Like you can see Korean restaurant everywhere and then they like Korean stars, or how to say that, like oh, a singer.
Like, uh-huh. Yeah, stars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'd...
And they dress like Korean.
That's funny.
And they drink, how to call that wine again?
Soju?
Soju, yeah.
I guess now that I think about it, I do see a lot of Korean stuff.
Yeah.
Katie and I had a lunch the other day after we met up with you guys, and we got Korean fried chicken.
Wow.
It's really good. But then we ordered...
They say always go with beers.
Oh, right. Always with beer.
Chicken
and beer.
Yeah, chicken and beer.
And I forget what they say, how they say that in Korean. They had this, like, a shortened word for it. I don't remember. But we ordered two dishes.
Yeah.
We ordered that, and then we ordered a rice dish.
Yeah.
And we forgot that in Korean food, it always comes with all these side dishes.
Ah, yeah, like kimchi.
Yeah.
Yeah, kimchi. And then like radish or something.
Oh, lots of vegetables and all these, all kinds of side things. So it was just that one dish was far bigger than we needed. And then we had a whole extra one come. And it was really good, but twice as much food as we needed.
Oh, so did you finish off then?
We had it for supper. Yeah, we took it back.
Cool.
But we forgot. That's one really nice thing about Korea.
Yeah.
It's funny, most of their food, to me, seems really healthy. Like, they do a lot of, well, similar to sushi.
Yeah.
A lot of rice and vegetables. They always eat kimchi, which is really good for you.
Yeah.
But then they have fried chicken. Also, it's really popular. It's like mixed in with all this good, healthy food is fried chicken. Yeah. It's funny. Have you been there? Been to Korea?
No. Since they are... so close to Taiwan, I mean, I want to explore something totally different from my culture.
Okay.
Yeah, for me, they are just so similar culture to us. Like, you can find Korean restaurant, Korean food in Taiwan, of course. So I don't think I will put them in priority so far.
Okay.
Maybe later, yeah.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah.
People tend to do that. They want to go explore far away.
Yeah.
It's more exotic or interesting.
Yeah.
What do you think of Mongolia? Is it close to your culture or far?
No, totally different. Like, from the landscape, from the animals, lifestyle is totally different from Taiwan. Like, I really like this country, and I want to come back here for a longer time, like maybe stay here for months.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, see more.
I think you could easily stay a month.
Yeah.
What kind of wildlife have we seen so far?
You say yak?
Yep, yak.
And camels, like wild horse.
Right.
And...
oh, so much.
Yeah, so much.
We saw those two eagles today.
Yeah.
Like golden eagles.
Huge eagle.
Oh,
yeah.
So big and right above us.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Katie and I have been studying reading about these eagle hunters.
Yeah.
They'll take those eagles and send them out, and they hunt for big animals sometimes.
What kind of big animals?
What do you call them? Gazelles that they have here.
Uh-huh.
And... sometimes even like they'll capture marmots and other smaller rodents and things like that. But then sometimes even wolves. They can take down a whole wolf.
Wow.
It's amazing. They're 10 times heavier. And they can kill them.
So they will kill them and bring them back, or they will bring them back alive?
Kill them
first?
They won't necessarily... bring them back. I don't know much about this, but I know they'll kill them, and then the hunter maybe goes and gathers it.
Oh, yeah?
But sometimes the hunter will have the eagle on his, resting on his wrist.
Yeah.
And riding a horse.
Uh-huh.
And so some of these hunters can gallop on a horse at full speed
while
having an eagle on their wrist.
Uh-huh.
And then if they want, they can even bend down with their other hand and pick something up off the ground while the horse is galloping.
Oh, my God. I want to see that.
I know. It sounds
amazing.
It sounds so amazing.
Yeah.
They do these shows and contests for this stuff.
Uh-huh.
But it sounds really, really cool. And then the eagle might spot something. They can see an animal moving from 2 miles away, like 3 kilometers away.
Wow, that's
They have really, really good eyes.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And then the hunter will send them off.
Uh-huh.
And the eagle will go up and swirl around and then dive straight down.
Wow.
And its talons, its feet, uh-huh. are really strong. So uh-huh. it just tears right into the flesh of the animal.
Oh, my God.
And it bleeds to death.
Oh, my God. But I still want to see that. Like,
oh, it sounds
it's
amazing.
Just so violent, but yeah. I still want to see that.
Maybe Nadam. Do you want to come back for Nadam?
Yeah, maybe.
Do you know about Nadam?
What month is?
It's May or June. I forget. I think it's in June.
In June? Yeah.
That sounds really awesome. Uh-huh.
Yeah, if time allows, I will come back.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I did another podcast with this reporter woman who was sent to Nadam.
Uh-huh.
She's based in Beijing, but she covered it, and she said it was one of the best things she's ever seen.
Okay. And I also heard they say there is a tribe in northwest. They rely on reindeer. That is the only tribe in whole world rely on reindeer.
Right, these reindeer herders, the Tsetsen people, I think they're called.
I don't know. I'm not sure, and, but I just heard about that.
Yeah, did you hear my whole podcast, my previous one?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, you can listen to the rest of it later.
Yeah, yeah.
But she talks about them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she goes to see them sometimes.
Cool.
Yeah, and they all ride reindeers.
Yeah.
Like the kids do, the adults do.
Yeah, yeah. Then they have milk from reindeer, and then
yeah.
they just rely on that, yeah.
And they sleep in teepees.
Yeah. That's cool.
It's incredible. Yeah. They're not Mongolian, though.
They're not Mongolian?
No, not ethnically. Since they're in Mongolia, they're considered Mongolian, but they're ethnically different.
Oh, okay.
I guess what happened was, I don't know. I don't know if I'll get this exactly right, but apparently they were in Russia during the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
And always moving around. They're nomadic. And right around 1990, when the Soviet Union broke up, they moved. They didn't even know about the Soviet Union, but they moved down into Mongolia. Which was under the control of the Soviet Union. And all of a sudden they drew the border and they're like, okay, now you're in Mongolia.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's how they got here.
Yeah, okay.
Just by total coincidence.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, super interesting.
Yeah, that's super interesting.
But I guess if you want to see them, it takes a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Like I watched this on TV. The girl fly from UB to somewhere and then ride a horse for a couple of days to reach the tribe.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like really far away. Couple of days to get there.
Probably like 3 days from UB to get there, three days to get back.
Yeah.
And then maybe if you visit for one day, then that's a whole week.
yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
This country is just very big and there's not a lot of roads.
Yeah, and like you want to go everywhere, you have to go back to UB and then start over again.
You almost do, right? You might see two parts of the country that look pretty close to each other, but there's no way to get between them.
Yeah.
But that's part of the appeal here. It's so cool how just wild this country still is.
Yeah.
Even in the 21st century.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about UB? What do you think of that?
I would like to say just a city, but not super modern. Like you take the bus, take ages to get where you want to go. And
yeah, traffic is terrible.
Yeah, traffic is terrible.
All right. Yeah. Well, it's definitely not somewhere I'd want to live either.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too bad because I think it'd be really cool to stay in Mongolia for a long time.
Yeah.
But without a city to base yourself in, you know, it'd be really hard to live.
Yeah, yeah.
In a small town or in a gare full time for me anyway.
Yeah.
And then UB isn't a great option either.
Yeah. Although, for me also it's not a great option too.
Right. Yeah. The air quality there is terrible right now.
Yeah.
Everybody's burning their fires and heavy traffic.
Yeah.
But out here it's just so peaceful.
Yeah.
Like we've just driven all day.
Yeah, I have same feeling, like really peaceful when you are here. Yeah.
What did you enjoy our experience earlier today?
Yeah.
What did we do? Explain it.
We did a camel ride.
Yeah, we rode camels. Right.
Yeah. Because we haven't have a camel in my country, so I quite excited. And the camel here is with the same, how do you call that?
The humps.
Humps, yeah. It's very different from when I saw in Dubai, because they only have a single one.
Yeah, one hump camel.
Yeah, yeah.
And these are two hump camels.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool though, huh?
Pretty cool.
You sit right between the humps.
Yeah, and so it's really warm when you sit there for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't nearly as hard on my body as riding a horse was. Yeah, it was pretty easy, actually.
Yeah.
And they seemed really gentle. I expected them to be angrier, but they weren't angry at all.
They are very gentle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yesterday, what did you ride yesterday?
Horse.
And how was that?
Oh, the same as like we don't have a horse, right? Yes, we do, but not really common. And if you want to ride a horse, you have to like spend a lot of money. Mm. But here, in here, it's just normal animal for them. They're very easy to ride, and they're really good at that.
Yeah, they've been doing this for thousands of years.
Yes, and you can see like little boy or little girl, they're riding horse very professional.
Did a boy jump on the horse with you? Is that what I saw?
Yeah, because my horse is just out of control. All he wants is just eating grass.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Katie and I were joking around about that with our horses, that they're walking and they're always looking down at the grass.
Yeah.
And that's their food. That's all they ever eat.
Yeah.
So they're always staring at their food. And we're like, well, what would happen if you walked over a field of hamburgers? Nothing but hamburgers. You'd do the same thing. You'd always want to stop and eat the hamburgers.
Yeah.
Every chance you got.
Yeah.
Huh. So the boy was able to get the horse moving for you, huh?
Yeah.
That's cool. It's good you got a chance to do that in your short time here.
Yeah.
So we have a few more days here still on this trip. What is it, day three now for us?
I think it's three.
Yeah.
Actually it's four, right?
Today's day four?
Yeah, today's four.
No, we'll look it up. I thought it was three.
No, it's four.
Well, at any rate.
Yeah, anyway.
So we're doing this for a week. And we've got another day on the sand dunes. And we've got some red flaming cliffs to go to. It all sounds like awesome.
Yeah.
We've got some this white stupa thing. What are you going to do once we get back to UB?
I have leave the day after, the early morning, the day after we arrive UB. And we'll go straight to Russia.
By train?
By train, yeah. By bus first, cross the border, and then take the train.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you'll do the cheaper route then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. On budget.
Yeah. And Katie and I are not spending too much, but I had this, maybe you'd call it a romantic notion of crossing all of Asia by train. And not doing buses at all. And
oh, really?
I mean, it's a bit more expensive that way, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But not too bad.
Uh-huh.
I think the hard one is going to be going into China, because the train tracks are
different. Yeah, I heard that.
So they have to change they call it the bogies. They have to change the bogies of the train over. So the train can go on the different gauge of tracks.
Yeah.
I guess that takes a long time.
Yeah, so I think so.
We'll be sitting there forever. Well, that's okay though.
Yeah.
Gives us time to reflect on our journey.
Yeah.
And so how long are you going to spend in Russia?
I think it's about 19 days.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Huh. Yeah.
Do you have plans yet?
Not really. Like, I don't really have plan, but the things I want to do is Lake Baikal.
Sure.
And then Moscow, St. Petersburg.
St. Petersburg?
I think these three places is must-see.
Sure.
And I might just stop somewhere between.
Yeah.
Yeah, to see what is interesting to see.
Yeah, I mean, those three were definitely
need to
big highlights on our list, too, especially Lake Baikal.
Yeah.
I mean, if you like cities, both Moscow and St. Petersburg have good characteristics.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the Stolby Nature Reserve?
No. What's that about?
It's a big, basically a national park.
Uh-huh.
And it's right next to Krasnoyarsk,
uh-huh.
which is on the way.
Yeah.
And so maybe you want to stop there for a couple days.
Yeah.
Because you can just take the normal public bus and go into this park.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really beautiful. There's all these giant rock pillars, rock formations.
Yeah.
You can climb and have fun.
Uh-huh.
You can just go for a day if you want.
Yeah.
Go with other people in your hostel, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I will put on a list.
Okay, Stolby Nature Reserve.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have you write it down later.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
That was another highlight for us.
So what did you guys do there, like in the Russia trip?
In Russia?
Where do you stop?
Oh, well, we were in Finland, in Helsinki.
Yeah.
And we took the train into St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
We spent like 3 days, maybe four days in St. Petersburg. And I mean, it's a really big city and beautiful, and there's all these just grand buildings.
Yeah.
From a few hundred years ago.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of history there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of art and museums. And just walking around is incredible.
Yeah.
Anyway, then we went. It's about an 8-hour train down to Moscow.
Yeah.
And so we spent a couple days there.
Uh-huh.
We went to one of these golden ring towns.
Ah, yeah.
You know about those?
Yeah, three different places. Small town, right?
There's at least three. There's probably more than that, actually.
Uh-huh. Okay. But, yeah, I heard about that.
Okay, so the one we went to was Suzdal.
Suzdal.
Which, I mean, I don't have anything to compare it to, but it was awesome. It was just this nice little town.
Yeah.
We stayed in a guest house. The lady there was really nice to us.
Uh-huh.
Just good for a day or so. Not like a week. Just like a day.
Yeah.
And then we went to Vladimir, which is another slightly bigger, but still pretty small town.
Mm-hmm.
And then from Vladimir to Yekaterinburg.
Yeah.
And that's right on the border between Russia. Yeah. Between Asia
and Europe.
Right, Asia and Europe.
Yeah.
Splits the two. I think you can actually go out to find the sign.
the landmark, right?
Right. We didn't end up doing that because we went to a different nature park.
Yeah.
But that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did we do? Well, then we went a really long distance without stopping.
For how many days?
Well, 2 nights and 1 day.
Wow.
So maybe like 38 hours.
Uh-huh.
There's a city called Novosibirsk, which I guess is the capital of Siberia. And it's a college town, fun town. But we passed through it without stopping. We just didn't have enough time.
Yeah.
So I don't know much about it. And then Krasnoyarsk, the big thing about Krasnoyarsk is the Stolby Nature Reserve.
Yeah.
And so that was another...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, Yekaterinburg straight to Krasnoyarsk was like 38 hours.
Uh-huh.
And then Krasnoyarsk to Irkutsk.
Yeah, Irkutsk.
And that was another, I don't know, 18 hours or something.
Uh-huh. So how many days you stay in Irkutsk?
Irkutsk? I think we just stayed in the town for a day or so. But then we went to Lisvyanka, which is right on the lake, on Lake Baikal.
Yeah.
I definitely would recommend Lisvyanka. It's a small town.
Uh-huh.
Really nice atmosphere there.
Wow.
You can do some hiking around there.
Uh-huh.
And I think it'll be cold, but hopefully not frozen yet.
Okay.
Yeah. You can eat the fish from the lake.
Oh my God, salmon?
No, it's called, well, I think there's salmon near there, but there's a fish called omul.
Omul?
Which only is in that lake.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely will try that.
And they smoke them, and they're really good.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I will try it.
Right. And then we went up to Okhon Island.
Oh, yeah. Everyone did that. So how was it?
Oh, beautiful.
Uh-huh.
We just camped on the island, and so it's almost like, you know how we're going through Mongolia now, and we're not... We just stop wherever we want and camp.
Yeah.
And that's what Katie and I did in the north, too. We just hiked all day or rode horses all day. And just...
Yeah.
No one really cares. You just camp wherever you want.
Yes.
Which is awesome. It's
yeah.
It's a nomadic culture, and they really embrace it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Same thing with this island.
Yeah.
Just no one cares.
Mm-hmm.
So we just hiked into the forest and camped right mm-hmm. on the lake.
Wow, cool.
Walked around.
Yeah. So how many days you reckon me to go around the island?
I think most people just stay for a day.
Uh-huh.
Like it's like almost a full day to get there.
Uh-huh.
It's probably 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah.
And then the whole next day stay there.
Uh-huh.
And then the following day you can go back to uh-huh. Irkutsk.
Yeah.
So that's a 3-day trip and you're only actually on the island one full day.
Yeah.
But I think it's still worth it. It's really a nice place.
Cool.
Unless you're really short on time.
Uh-huh.
So that's about it. That's all we did. Oh, well, then we went to Ulan-Ude.
Where is that?
That's the first town you'll go to.
Oh,
in Russia.
Yeah.
Ulan-Ude.
Ulan-Ude. Oh, yeah. I'm going to take the train, local train from there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ulan-Ude.
Ulan-Ude to Irkutsk, or we went the opposite way. That was beautiful.
Really?
Yeah, we're just looking at the lake all day.
Uh-huh.
So cool. We really liked that train ride.
Yeah.
Anyway, we had a great time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's exciting. I'm excited
cool.
for you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, where do you plan to go after Russia? You're going to go to St. Petersburg? And
yes.
And then what?
And then take the night bus to Estonia.
Oh, you're going to Estonia?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the country next to is called...
Latvia? Or
Latvia, yeah.
Yeah?
And then the last one is called...
Oh, you're testing me here. I forget what's south of Latvia.
I see also stuff on L.
Lithuania?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then I will fly out from there to London.
Oh, you'll fly?
Huh. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you fly at the beginning?
My original
fly at the
plan
end.
Is take a bus to Poland and then Berlin and then take a train to London, but I run out of time, so I have to fly out from...
okay.
Rica. Yeah.
So what's going on in London? Why are you going there?
Very lucky in my last chance I can stay in London for 2 years. Not London, England for 2 years. So I have the kind of like working holiday visa.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, but they have like age...
restriction?
Yeah. So I have to done this before 31.
Okay.
Yeah, so that is my last chance to go there, to live in there.
Oh, and you're like 30 right now? or
31.
Oh.
So before 31.
Oh, okay. So you have like just this year to do it?
No, once you got the visa, you can stay... 2 years.
Oh, okay.
But you have to get the visa before 31.
Oh, and that's why you're in such a hurry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, as long as you have it all planned out,
yeah.
Get there before your birthday.
Yeah.
You're okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So you're going to work in England for 2 years?
Yes.
What kind of job? Do you have one?
So far, I don't have like official job, but for short term, I will do like living au pair, like nanny stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I find a family, they original from South Africa.
Yeah.
And they moved to London 3 years ago, I think. And they have 4 kids. So the mom is like full-time mom. Take care of the children, but you know, take care of 4 kids is not so easy. So she needs someone to help. Yeah, and I found this on Gumtree.
Gumtree?
Yeah.
That's a website to look for jobs or what?
Everything. Basically everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can find a car, house, whatever you want on that.
Huh.
Yeah.
And so they've decided to hire you already?
Or? Yeah, like... I contacted them 2 months ago, like we talk on WhatsApp and we write email like every week,
uh-huh.
like just make sure we are the good person to each other.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so it's a good fit.
Yeah, that's a good fit.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, we were doing, we were counting how many countries we've been to earlier today.
Yeah.
And I forget what I even came up with. I think it was 45.
Yeah, you're 45.
But I don't normally like to do this because it's like you could easily go to 45 countries in a couple months.
You know?
Who cares?
Yeah.
But I care more about seeing places thoroughly than counting. But anyway, what was your number? How many have you been to?
I think it's about 22 to 25. I'm not really count it, but in this year, I travel quite a lot, and my family asked me, how many countries have you been? And I start to count, it's like about 22.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like which countries then?
I think it's most of them are Asia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's since too, like very close to us, so very easy to travel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you've been to, let's see, you haven't been to Korea. We did that.
Yeah.
So you've been to, what, China?
China, Japan, Thailand. Should I call Hong Kong a country? No.
Depends. I guess we're recording this in Mongolia, so we can count it as separate.
Yeah, like.
Once we get to China, then it's definitely China.
Yeah, so should I continue count or not?
Sure. I mean, I'm just interested in where you've been. Like, have you been to Europe?
Yeah.
Which parts of Europe?
Most of them, like, West Europe.
Western Europe?
Yeah, Western Europe.
Okay.
But my favorite is Iceland, definitely.
Oh, you went to Iceland?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why did you go there? How did you go there?
That was my first big trip in 2014, and there's a movie called, I don't even remember the name of the movie, but that is filmed in Iceland, and that wasn't in my plan at the beginning, and so I'm doing the research, I find there's an airline called WOW Airline.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they fly from London to Iceland for £49.
Really?
Yeah, that's such a good deal.
So cheap.
Yeah.
What, round trip?
Two? Yeah, and they...
Or one way?
I don't...
Well, either way,
I think it's one way, just one way. Mm. And also, there is a music festival called Airwaves.
Okay, I don't know this.
In Iceland, because I know Iceland always have the good concert. Mm. So I decided just go there and to see the nature. So I just... Bang, buy the tickets and then go there.
You were living in London at the time?
No, just the first stop of my journey.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay. Huh. Which part of Iceland did you go to?
The west south coast.
Okay.
Yeah. I find some people there to do a road trip to the southwest.
Oh, you rented a car?
Yeah.
Together?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Huh. Mm. Yeah, that's where Katie and I started our trip, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just for like 3 or 4 days, I guess.
Uh-huh.
3 nights.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we really liked it, too.
Yeah.
It's just so expensive. That's the only problem with it.
Oh, yeah. But I think compared to Finland or Sweden, like, it's not so bad if you quit yourself, like, buy food from the supermarket. Mm. I said it's not so bad, I think.
Yeah, well, we brought all of our own food from home.
Oh, really? Yeah.
We didn't buy any food in Iceland,
uh-huh.
And we only camped.
Uh-huh. I heard they say it's also very easy to fly from America to Iceland. Is that true?
Very easy.
Yeah?
Part of the reason is because the planes go over Iceland anyway.
Uh-huh.
When they're going to, like, London or Paris.
Uh-huh.
They take that route anyway, so a lot of the time you can change planes in Iceland.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what we did. We changed planes to do a layover.
Yeah.
But instead of just doing like a 2-hour layover, we did a 4-day layover.
Oh, cool.
And they let you do that for free. No extra money.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't even the visa or something?
We don't need visas, no.
Oh, cool. That's
no,
cool.
No, because Iceland is part of the EU, or the Schengen zone.
Yeah.
So Americans can go there without a visa.
Yeah.
Do you need a visa?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, that would be bad if they charged you. On top of everything else is so expensive there that they can get a visa.
Yeah.
But in a way, it seems like a trap almost. It's like, it's really cheap to fly there, and you don't need a visa, so it's very easy to get to Iceland.
Yeah.
But once you're there, you're like, whoa, I have to pay $90 for a two-hour bus ride? Like, what? That's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, that's so true. But my friend who is Icelandic, he told me that tourists, like growing almost, I think it's 60% or 80% past 2 years. Like nowadays, a lot of people go to Iceland for...
It seems like it.
Yeah.
Well, we went home. Everyone we talked to, they're like, oh, you know, what are you doing this summer? Oh, going to Iceland. Everyone.
Yeah. So when did you go there?
That would have been August of this year.
Oh, yeah?
To start out our trip.
Yeah.
So we still had, like, it got dark in August at maybe 11 at night.
Mm-hmm.
And it started getting light at, like, 3 in the morning. And it's crazy to think about, because now it's only been 2 months.
Uh-huh.
But now they have, like, 11 hours of daylight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's gone from 21 down to 11 in just a couple months.
Yeah.
And they'll go down to zero pretty soon.
Yeah.
What time of year were you there?
I think it's in November.
Oh, really? Like,
yeah, same as this time 2 years ago. Actually 3 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it was dark all the time?
Yeah.
Oh, did you see anything?
Oh, Northern Lights!
Oh, the Northern Lights!
Yeah, I'm really lucky. Like, I almost give up. Like, but I saw that the day before I left.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky. And I saw the really good light with pink light.
With pink?
Yeah.
Oh, now, okay, I've seen videos of the Northern Lights.
Yeah.
I've never really seen them.
Yeah.
Does the whole sky just flash like in the videos?
Yes.
It really does that?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, and you don't need to go too far to see them. You just can see them from the city.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have to do that.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, we were there, when we were there, it was
in summertime,
barely dark, so no chance to really see them.
Yeah.
Ah, we'll have to go back.
Yeah, in the winter time.
Or we might go back to Scandinavia too, like
we
have friends in Finland,
and
our one friend is from the very far north of Finland, from Lapland.
It's
further north than Iceland.
So you see the
Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
North of the Arctic Circle.
Uh huh.
So in the winter, it doesn't get light out at all.
Yeah. Oh my God, how can they sleep? No, in the summertime, I mean.
How can they sleep in summer?
Yeah.
I don't know. They must just all be crazy. I don't know. I mean, eye mask or like paint your windows. Well, you must have to do something.
Yeah. Like eating, there is one kind of food they can eat. I don't know how to call that in English.
What, like NyQuil?
NyQuil, what is that?
That's what they, it's medicine to make you sleep.
Oh no.
Is that what they eat?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. It must just be like a really extreme lifestyle, because probably all summer you're sleeping like 4 hours a night, and then all winter you're sleeping like 12 hours a night.
But I heard they say that in the winter they will like light the, how to say, light all the time. They use a special light.
To light the city or what?
Even you are at home, they will just light.
Oh, light up their homes?
Yeah.
Maybe to mimic the sunlight, to look like sun?
Yeah, maybe.
I guess if you get a really good TV, you could just play the sun. There's probably YouTube videos of this, of just the sun.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, have you seen the videos of, it's just a fireplace?
No.
Like, if you're at home with your friends,
and
you want a nice cozy atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
You put on your TV and play a video of a fire.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not hot. You don't get the actual feel of it, but it has the atmosphere of being a fire.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
We should do that here tonight. Get out of TV.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't see any trees. I mean, I'm looking all the way to the horizon.
Yeah.
There's not one tree in my view. Mm-hmm. And a week ago, I was in a different part of Mongolia, and mm-hmm. all we could see was trees.
Yeah.
Giant forest.
Yeah.
Kind of strange.
Here. Yeah.
There's grass. What do we see? Some gares.
Gares, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of nomadic people in the background.
Yeah, and sand.
A lot of sand.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you don't have a mattress, do you?
No.
To sleep on.
No.
So the sand will be nice.
Yeah, softer.
Soft.
Yeah.
Are you okay sleeping without a mattress?
Yeah, I'm pretty good with that.
Huh.
No problem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I notice in China, the beds are so hard.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
What about in Taiwan? Softer?
Oh, I say it just depends on what did you like. If you want a really soft one, you just get soft one. If you don't like it, just sleeping on the wood. Nobody will care. Yeah.
But most people are okay with sleeping on just a board.
I'm not sure about it. For me, no, not for me.
maybe it's good for you. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I just can't get used to it. So I actually carry my air mattress everywhere.
Everywhere.
Always sleep on it.
Uh-huh.
It's very rare where I don't, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, this bed is actually good enough for me.
Uh-huh.
It's never good enough.
Uh-huh.
But I think we'll have a comfortable night tonight.
Yeah, definitely.
We've had some, I mean, I know you think it's cold, but it hasn't gotten drop below freezing yet. Last night I was taking off layers when we were sleeping. I got hot.
Actually, last night just okay for me. Not too cold and not too warm, just all right.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh, we should talk about something else.
Yeah.
This is a travel podcast, you know.
So
you should tell me about a place I've never been. So where have you been that I haven't? You said Japan?
There is other place I really like. It's Burma. Have you been Burma?
No, I want to go. Katie and I are planning to. Okay.
That's awesome. You need to spend 1 month there.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. What can you do in Burma?
Like, they're also so different from where I'm from. And the food there is not so good for me. But the... how to say? The culture... The landscape also is so beautiful. I did a trekking, like a 4 day, 3 night trekking from Kalau to Yinan Lake. That was the best part of my trip.
Okay.
Like you can stay with the family. They don't have electricity and they take a cold shower even in a cold night.
Oh, yeah?
And they light on the candle at the night. Then they cook on the wood.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's really wonderful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is it really hot there?
Hot?
Yeah.
When I travel, it's in April.
Okay.
Yeah, it's quite hot.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're from a cold climate, so I think... Mm-hmm. Having slightly cold weather is okay for us, but hot weather,
yeah,
it's not good.
Yeah, and also the Bakken, the place called Bakken, there is like thousands, hundreds of they call pagoda.
Yeah,
and I stayed there for 4 nights or 5 nights, I forget, and we just come up to the pagoda, different pagoda every day to see sunset and sunrise. That was amazing too.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah.
I've seen the pictures, so yeah. I'm excited to go there.
Yeah.
All right. It looks like there's a lot of hot air balloons there.
Yeah, in the morning.
Did you take one, or is that?
Yeah, I can show you just from my cell phone.
Sure. Maybe you can send me some of these pictures.
And... just in the background, not easy to see here.
Oh, I do. Yeah, your background of your phone is better.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I can show you later.
Yeah, we'll look at it later.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I'll put some on my website.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Cool.
Now, Bagan, the hot air balloon, was that your first time in a hot air balloon?
No, I didn't tell that. And I just climbed up to the pagoda to see them. Yeah, it was too expensive for me by that time.
Sure, just crazy expensive.
Yeah, for a tourist.
I've heard that. Yeah. Huh. Do a lot of high-end tourists go to Burma?
Yeah, when I travel there, there's one guy, he has been there, I think it's 10 years ago. He told us like when he traveled 10 years ago, there was only 2 ATM in whole Burma.
Uh-huh.
And by that time when I travel, ATM everywhere already.
Okay.
Like they opened to to other countries to travel there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So no problem getting money?
Yeah, no problem.
No problem getting around the country?
Yeah, yeah.
Buses everywhere?
Yeah.
Oh, sounds cool.
And people are friendly there. Like, they cannot speak English very well, but they will try their best to help you.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like Mongolia is like that a lot, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, people here seem to be really nice.
Yeah.
And I guess I haven't really experienced proper nomads yet. Like, I guess I guess because they do have such a difficult life in so many ways, that they have to help each other.
Yeah.
And so if one person goes and knocks on another person's door, then
they're
always offered tea and food, and it's just normal. And I guess they still do that to the travelers too.
Yeah.
Sounds really nice. It's such a hospitable culture.
Yeah. I wondering if that also a reason turns Mongolian really tough. Like, before I come here, there is a girl from Mongolia going to study in Taiwan. She's just like 23.
Okay.
And she just decided to come to Taiwan months ago. And then when she made a decision, she just come along by herself. I warned her I wouldn't do that when I was like 22 or 23. She just decided to do that.
Yeah, it's pretty brave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For me, it's very brave.
Uh-huh. It's been an awesome time here.
Yeah.
In Mongolia.
Yeah.
And so soon we're going to go to your country. Why don't we talk about Taiwan just a little bit?
Of course.
So because I mean we're gonna we've told you the story already, but we'll be in Beijing in about a week and stay there for another week or so, and then we're going to go to Japan and bike around for a while, and then hopefully find a boat or some way to get down to Taiwan, and then we don't really have a timeline, so maybe a few weeks. And I don't know, maybe bike around the island, but what do you recommend?
They said there are 3 main things you have to do if you are Taiwanese. One thing is climb up to the Jade Mountain, in which is the highest mountain in Taiwan, and also north of Asia, not including China.
Highest mountain in Taiwan and highest mountain in...
I think they say South Asia or North Asia, I forget. Sorry, I have to check out this.
Well, it's a tall mountain anyway.
Yeah, like 3,952 meters.
Okay.
Yeah. And the second thing is swim across the Sammun Lake.
What lake?
Sammun Lake.
Oh, Sammun Lake?
Yeah.
Oh, what is that?
It's just a lake in the central of Taiwan.
Okay.
Yeah, and the third thing is cycling around Taiwan.
Okay, well, we've got that
one.
You
guys going to do that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, normally people will spend 2 weeks to cycling over Taiwan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we can do that.
Yeah.
And the mountain, can we just climb that without a guide, or
is it a... You need a permit.
Permit, okay.
Yeah.
And is it just a trail, or do you need technical climbing gear?
No, it's just trail.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. For you guys, I think it's pretty easy.
Yeah, we'll see.
Since you are hiking a lot.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Huh. And, like, we are a group of five.
Yeah.
So, Tommy have been to Taiwan through the, like, werewolf. And Sasha. He say he left Taiwan is because the people are really friendly.
He
went there 3 times, and the second time he went is because good people. Mm-hmm. So you can find some people very nice there, definitely.
All right, sounds good to me.
Yeah.
And I can work on my Chinese.
Yeah.
The accent's a little different.
Yeah, you can tell what's different between Chinese and Taiwan Chinese.
Right. Do you call it Putonghua, or do you call it
Guoyu? Yeah, we just say Guoyu or Zhongwen.
Ah, Zhongwen.
Yeah,
in China they always say Zhongwen.
Yeah. Yeah, and most of the south of Taiwan, they speak Taiwanese.
The south?
Yeah,
but what about the north? Oh, Taiwanese is not Chinese. It's a different language?
Yeah, it's different language.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, for older people, they speak Taiwanese more.
Oh, do they also know Chinese or only Taiwanese?
Depends on how old they are and where they're from. Some people, they don't understand Chinese very well.
Okay.
Yeah, they only speak Taiwanese.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. And it's completely different than Chinese?
Yeah, totally different.
Ah, all right.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll watch out for that.
Yeah.
What about English? Do a lot of people speak English?
For young people, in general, they know English, but they're just too shy to speak English.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that gives me more opportunity to practice my Chinese.
Yeah.
I can already feel it slipping a bit, I think. Like 4 months ago, I think I spoke better than now.
Okay.
Now it's like, oh, what's the word? Because I haven't used it.
Yeah.
So that'll be good.
Yeah.
I won't be able to read, though, because you have traditional characters, right?
Yeah. I think from traditional Chinese to simple Chinese is more easier. But for you guys who learn simple Chinese, yeah, it's more difficult for you to understand traditional one.
Huh. Well, yeah. I can work on it.
Yeah, but some parts still very similar, you can tell.
Right. Sometimes I can just see that there's like 4 parts of the character, and the simplified version just removes 3 of those parts.
Yeah. And some words we use in different words to describe, like you say earlier today, 自行车. You use in China, we say 脚踏车 in Taiwan.
Okay, and that's for bicycle.
Yeah.
For those who don't speak Chinese.
Yeah, yeah.
So a few of those differences.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be a nice little challenge.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. How warm will it be in November?
In November, for you guys, maybe just like spring or something.
Like shorts and t-shirt?
Yeah, yeah.
Like low 20s?
I think about 22, 23.
Oh, that just seems like so hot right now.
Yeah.
Even as we're sitting here, I'm just getting cold. The sun's going down.
Yeah, sun's going down and getting cold. Huh.
Well, all right. Well, we can begin to wrap it up.
Yeah.
I'm really blown away by this landscape. And I guess one downside of doing a podcast is people can't see us.
Yeah, okay.
And if they knew like where we were, they'd go, whoa, it's so cool. Because we're literally just on top of a sand dune right now.
Yeah.
Took probably 15 minutes to walk to the top of it. And we could just see all the way to the horizon. And it's super flat land. A few smaller mountains in the background. And there's just no people here.
Yeah. Even I come missing, no one will know.
Right. I know. It'd take a while. And I always worry about getting hurt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there's no hospital.
Oh, yeah.
What do you do? I mean, there's probably no helicopters right here, you know?
Yeah, that's so true.
And it took us, 6 hours of driving on unpaved roads, really bumpy roads to get here?
Yeah.
Imagine if you broke your leg.
Oh my God! I don't even want to imagine that.
Yeah, don't imagine it. It would take a long time to get out, and it would be really painful.
Yeah.
And probably at least a full day to get to a hospital, if not more.
Oh my God!
I know.
I'm ready to die if I have to wait in for 4 days to get to hospital.
But luckily, we're on sand, so even if you fall, like running,
nothing will harm.
And nothing bad happens.
Yeah,
it's just sand.
Yeah, just sand.
Just don't swallow it or something.
I wish I have a couple now, like they can slide down from the top.
Yeah, right. It's too bad. Well, like when I was in Peru, they do this. Yeah, they do a sandboarding.
Oh, cool.
It's like snowboarding, but on sand.
Yeah.
I sucked at it. But again, if you fall, you don't get hurt. It's only sand.
Yeah. Huh.
Anyway, it was a really great time talking to you.
Me too.
All right, enjoy the rest of your trip.
Thank you.
I hope the au pair job works out well for you.
I will, try to do my best.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
Thank you once again to Ruby Tsai for coming on the show. And thank you everybody for listening. Once again, my website is 1000daysbetween.com. That's the number 1000daysbetween.com. There's going to be a lot of pictures from this trip up on the show notes. I hope you'll take the time to check them out. I'm really satisfied with how they came out. And once again, come to Mongolia if you get a chance. It's great. And until next time, peace out.